Why? In business, that's a conflict of interest. If you talk, you're so concerned about players doing certain things, Nick Saban leaving school, why don't you tell everybody about Joe Mendez and Cornerstone? There's a little group out here in Virginia. Because back in the day before NIL, we're talking about advising athletes to keep these kids who are projected true first-round draft picks. Once again, we consult people. So you have no idea how many people I consult throughout the years. But I'll let you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. So when you tell a kid to go to see this group, and this group is paid by the SEC and the ACC, when they give you a consultation, who best interested in they serving? The athlete or the conferences?
Conferences.
Exactly. You know who don't know that? The athletes think they give independent consulting.
But they were referred by the coach to this.
The ACC and the SEC. Nick Saban. So you talk about making decisions where to go and where to stay. Don't act like you ain't been a part of this, because I said before, your whole motto was keeping those guys there on the bench for 4 to 5 years and think, tell them they're going to get drafted in the first round until they came to Alabama. The lies you tell. There's no NFL team and no NFL scout coach going to tell you that. Your film is your resume. Yes. Okay, how many games you won? They don't care how many games you won in AAU basketball. They don't care. And someone spoke about it the other day, and it's just true. The term coach. Anybody that say they want to be a coach can be one. That's the problem. That's the problem. Whether it's the guy in Florida from the Christian school that was cursing his kid out, or Urban Meyer kicking the guy in Jacksonville. These people are some celebrated and basically put on pedestals because they was able to control a majority of large, unintelligible African-American athletes through decades. That's what made them who they say they are. Talk about his win-loss record. Okay, great. Compared to what? You got kicked out of the NFL because you couldn't be a professional around professionals. Mm. Saban? But they don't want to talk about that, though. We develop professionals. So don't go to Alabama if Nick Saban was there. Looks like that worked. So fact of the matter is, all these things we're talking about is a high level, and it shouldn't be high level. At this point, it should be common knowledge to understand what's in your best interest once you start to design your plans for life, what you're trying to accomplish. As I said before, look no further than what you're doing on your podcast and your platforms. Every day going to do a job as an employee, come back as a small business owner, commitment, understanding what you got to do to get the streams and the actual and the revenue, the sponsorship revenue, things of that nature. Understanding your logo, your IPs intact, understanding interview questions you need to do, how to time up the interview, how to export, how to chop it up. Man, that's a mouthful. That's what you do. You do that. What? I do that too. And amongst many other things at a high level. It's not what collectives do. It's not what sports agents do. It's not what universities do. So the reality is the people that's helping control, and you like to use that word, narrative, have no clue how to go about doing it. They better, you can be a consultant right now for every kid from UVA and give them more the guidance and direction than anybody probably that's coming out of that, that's been there from an agent standpoint, start to finish. I can say that because I watched what you've done and what you do, and they need to understand more about how you operate it versus where everybody else does. The guys that were highly rated and had way more, got drafted higher than you, played longer than you, blah, 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 can't do what you do. Still in apartments with the NFL sticker on the wall when they got drafted and went round. Don't know where to start. Can't own a home. Don't understand real estate. Don't understand contract. And they embarrassed and they ashamed. And I understand. I was like that. That's why I did what I did. Athletes don't like to be ashamed about certain things they don't know and understand. That's why they don't be around certain people. That's why the same people keep them in that bubble, like animals, like puppies, like you got a bunch of pit bulls. You like this one? You like that one? That's what's going to cost you. That's exactly how these collectors are operating when it comes to these athletes. And the sad part about it is a lot of these kids and their parents and their AU coaches wanting to be just like that. A lot of people are scared. A lot of people don't like the fact that when your athlete or your son or your daughter now level up in a mental thought process that you can't go to, you don't want that to happen. So you do everything in your power to keep them at your level, which is detrimental to their true development. We keep seeing that. Keep seeing that. So, you know, at the end of the day, America, this ain't about NIL. This is about human rights protections. This is about employment. This is about development. This is about truly being equal in economic development, bridging the wealth gap. Ain't nothing going, money is not going to bridge the wealth gap. You're going to take the same money and do what? Throw it back to the strip club. You're going to see the same guy like Kanye West all of a sudden go for $6 million overnight because everybody told you he was in a certain publication to $400 million the next day. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
It don't make sense. Why are we in the business of basically trying to look some way, look a certain way when we're not? That when you go and you do these, you see these frames behind me. I'm sure you got framed jerseys. Them things are expensive. I ain't saying at the end of the day anybody can't get them, but they ain't cheap.
They're not cheap.
They're not hanging on the wall. There's no hanger sitting to the side. They're not folded over like this. I respect my career. What I went through and what I put myself through, and Ahmad can tell you, when it comes to playing in an arena, when we don't got CTE benefits, tackling 300-pound fullbacks that run 4.5s, when it's a car crash every 5-yard line, when it's called high motion in the middle, and it cracked down on the jack, and you as the middle DS, and Ahmad can speak, you got to replace.
Got to take that on.
On ice, on turf, with walls, who said that was in the best thing for the athlete? Who made that decision? And then
and they say play for the love of the game.
Right. There's no one that's representing any athlete. I don't care if it's the NFL or CFL that want to, like crossing the street. You got a better shot of walking across I-95 than walking across the high motion inside the 5-yard line. I don't know about today's arena. I ain't been there, but I can tell you about the arena I played in, that me being in the middle with bodies coming left and right, front and back, that 2,000 pounds of men, regardless of what you do, hit that one, hit you at the same time. You pop up and do it like nothing happened.
That's a fact.
This ain't about the NFL. This is about people understanding the risk they're willing to take and the reward they get out of that, and making an informed decision about what you do and understanding the ramifications of it. Everybody ain't built like that. So to say, oh yeah, Title IX, everybody should be able to play. Nah, everybody shouldn't be able to play. Everybody ain't got the skill set to play. We should be focusing on real education, real development. Everybody ain't about to run into these buildings anymore to basically get shot up at the school. That's why I said I'm talking about my development program, IP online. It's better things I can do with my time instead of going to a building for 3 hours a day and becoming an entrepreneur. Understand what it means to understand how to review a document, to build infrastructure, to read contracts, to understand my IP. Because like I said before, if you don't protect your IP in the world we're going in now, whether it's with AI or anything else, everybody going to take your stuff. Audience on LinkedIn, stop filling out those badges. You are giving, that's machine learning. That's what it's called. They take your idea and say, oh, that's great. Here's your digital badge. The same thing they gave the children playing sports. Helmet stickers. They give it to you now as an adult. Make you feel good about yourself. Meanwhile, they're going to take the same information and sell it through a platform for $9.99 to 10 million people with the emails you just gave them from ING Academy at the youth soccer game.
Dang.
You better.
That's true, because you will get on that mailing list. Hey, you've been invited to the so-and-so camp and all these Division I colleges.
You're on your own, like I said in the beginning. When the last time you made your own decision? It's at a time now where no one's going to make any decisions. That's where these people in the collectives and their whole call NIL are setting up to basically control everything from a youth that plays a sport from the time that they're a kid to the time they're 27 years old. So it doesn't matter what you buy, what you put on your nails, what you put on your feet. They basically, once they get into your system and understand what it is, because numbers change, most emails don't. So that's third party, you know, IP and things of that nature. And that's been that way for a while. But now, because everything is done through a digital platform and apparatus,
yeah,
they don't get you. You gonna make that decision because you ain't capable of making it on your own. And so what we try to do to talk about independent ownership and development, they're trying to turn it back. Full disclosure, I won't be here to stop them. I'm just going to make it known in my legacy history where I stand on that, because we don't want to see tears. When you tell us you didn't know, it shouldn't be impossible to know. You got the same access to everybody else through technology and tablets and phones and YouTube and Google. So you either being lazy or you be ignorant, but both was unacceptable in 2024.
Yeah, and I mean, I really like what you said. And see, you talk about high motion. Sometimes I lose my train of thought just like that. But like the decision making, I really like that comment, because when I reflect back on my career from high school to college, even starting out in the NFL and going to the AFL, you really made your own decision. Somebody was advising you. And I just feels like, I really feel like with the NIL, with the transfer portal being open, I'm an advocate of saying, why not teach these student athletes how to make their own decisions? Like, yeah, you think it's bad that they transfer every year, but as much as folks, you know, always put in the forefront, this kid went from this school to that school, you don't talk about the 100 that went in that portal and got stuck in the portal.
Or had that scholarship taken, or I told like the guy from Colorado, from Iowa, they're going to send you back to the ghetto, or tell you can't wear your hair a certain way, or do certain things to you, or in this case, what would the kids be like if they had the transfer portal where they got away from Jerry Sandusky? I don't see them talking about that.
Mm.
Y'all good on that? I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about what they do. They got to do what's best for them. We just wish they would make more informed decisions based off of that. But everybody that jumped that when adults attack kids, it disgusts me. And that's why I'm the person on my platform. Because I can assure you, no matter who the adult is or what level they've been or what they do, what the degree says or what certifications that they got, when we finish publicly, 20 minutes, I'm still here, you're not. Because you're speaking on things you are not capable and qualified to understand. And this is what this is all about right now. You can't be advising or telling somebody something you ain't never done, because you think it's what you know. You think that's how it is. Like I said, I really, whether it's the kids from Iowa or Larry Nassar or the Ohio State kids and wrestling, think about this country when it comes to sports. Those five things I mentioned just now, until the players rep, three out of the four didn't even happen, but all the stuff was going on prior to that. How many years those girls in the gym had to go through that stuff with Larry Nassar? How many of them, when they told their coach to help me and stop me, did nothing happen? Same thing in Michigan. Until the players rep showed up, where you realize, I'm serious. I'll cost you your job, Gary Barter. I'll cost you your job, the highest paid strength coach in college football. I'll cost you your job, Urban Meyer said, told all university presidents. You can hire Urban Meyer again if you want to. Just know or not know if we're there or we're not there. Like I said, we may be in the room. We definitely in the cloud. Be very, very, very careful. I care nothing about your legacies, your coaching legacies off the backs of uninformed individuals. But I want to make, don't want people to think that I'm just coming down on the coaches, because the players got a whole lot of responsibility. And I mentioned some earlier. Some of these kids are growing up out of control, and they're not going to become great men. They may be talented athletically, but it's going to end in tragedies. I want to be first to tell the parents, stop basically giving everybody access to your kid because they're telling what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
There's some fictional youth program stuck a star behind them or gave them a helmet and made you think they're going to be the next this, the next that. The reality is 0.0001 make it to that level. And then out of the 1% that make it, 80% of the one go broke. So how are we doing the same thing over and over and over again? And trying to make light of it. And then, like I said, without these actual athletes, think about it. All these publications, the pre-post game, the Ball Hawk show, the coaches, none of this exists without the athlete, which we both were once was.
Yep.
So the revenue that we generate in this country alone, and you're trying to tell us our value, that without us, there won't be no fantasy betting, there won't be no fantasy football. You calling kids out their name, you threatening them, you call them doubt, they can't do this, they can't do that. As human beings, because you lost your parlay.
Yep.
Double hockey sticks your parlay on their behalf of them. But on behalf of them, if you're going to bet on a parlay, understand your contract says don't gamble, and you lose $11 million, now you got a gambling problem. I don't care what the media try to tell you. Your contract says don't gamble. This is your livelihood. It's short term. $1,500 and you risked $11 million and lost it, you have a gambling problem. You have a decision-making problem. You have a representation problem. You have a circle of influence problem. And you better get it fixed soon. Because losing $11 million off a gambling problem will mean you're going to lose the next amount of money. In the same process, like I said before, we're not here. Players, I'm not here to make friends. Tell the ball hawk all the time. I'm here to make friends. I'm here for compensation and results. That's it.
That's it.
That's what it's about. And I can't get compensated any results unless I do exactly what I say I'm going to do at the highest of level. So we in 2024, we still operating in the business of sports and other things without understanding ownership. As I said before, you can't go anywhere in this country without seeing IP and ownership. Yet those that generate all the revenue have the least amount of it. But they college educated. It's beyond me, man. It's beyond me, but it's because of me. And that's a quote. Beyond me, but because of me. So.
Well, man, you dropped a lot of nuggets. It's one of them interviews where they may get in their feelings, but in about a week or two, they're gonna be like, "Yeah, he was right." Because as you said, you don't operate in feelings.
No, and you understand what I went through. And again, you as a player understand the arena aspect of it, because usually we play arena trying to get to the next level, mm-hmm. but that chasing that goal. We put the same time, amount of energy and efforts. We trained with guys. Again, I could tell you stories about Chad Johnson and Peter Warwick's house. We want to do that, but I'm not Shannon Sharp with them. I'm not here to basically try to get likes and clicks. I ain't a desperate housewife athlete.
Yeah.
So the reality is those things, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of stuff that makes you laugh because we train with those NFL guys. And you know, like I know, most of the NFL guys could never play in arena. Most of the arena guys can easily play in the NFL, but that's not what the NFL wanted.
Yeah.
The best players in the world don't play on Sundays. I've seen it firsthand. I've coached it. Mm. I've watched the coach tell a player to come on a roster because he went to the SEC school and was trash. Lost my job because of it. But I told him, I said, as long as I'm the coach and that's on my name, he's not playing. I don't care if he came out of an NFL camp in the SEC school. He's terrible. But a 1AA player ended up being defensive player of the year for the Philadelphia Soul named Tracy Belton.
Mm-hmm.
That was the guy that I put in place and lost my job for instead of playing the SEC dude who's terrible.
My young buck with the Georgia Force that helped me go ahead and retire early because I said, Coach, you're in good hands with Tracy. I don't need to keep taking his middle reps and putting him to the boundary. If I go ahead and walk away, he's going to be a star in this league. And he became a star.
I developed him as a player. I failed him as the other part because Tracy didn't like to listen. So I put that out full disclosure. Tracy's one of those guys, again, that I told from day one that you need to understand more about life and what football entails. But his talent was immense. If he had the other level of professional development, Tracy didn't play on Sundays for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah. But the coach, the head coach who just saw SEC NFL camp, couldn't even understand it. Couldn't understand it. But he's the coach, the head coach.
Yeah, Tracy was now, nice. Talent
and understanding what you got in front of you is a skill set. And that's something that we take great pride in. Again, as a coach, which I once was, and that's the point to say, yeah, this is what it was. So Tracy came in there, sent you home, ended up being the AFL Defensive Player of the Year. But like I said, that's another story that hasn't been told. I was his first coach. You know what's the first coach I was? Dante Williams. Dante Williams was the interim head coach for USC. First black interim head coach in USC history. You know why? I told Dante, he was playing in the field corner, Dante, your hips too stiff. You went to Syracuse? That's great. But you ain't going to cut it in this league, brother. Focus on the game. Understand fundamentals. You know who didn't get that information? Deion Sanders. I'm real talk. So my point is, I don't care about your accolades when you played the game. Don't mean it translates what you do next. And people try to carry it along like you're doing something. The worst penalized team in football, in college football, is a real thing. You have to own that. Don't be telling kids and quote what they should do, how they do. You can't even do the job you're getting paid to in the first place. As I said before, worried about what's in their pocket. But you're the same one, Neon Deion. It's crazy to me. It's crazy. And more people, and I don't want to say you, but more people who are the ilk of professionals or the ilk of confident in who they are, the ilk of doing things the right way, they need to speak out more. Our youth basically see too many people are not who they say they are, and that's what they're going to become. Through their apparatus, their TVs, their cell phones, their all those things. And it shouldn't be that way. And like I said before, I know I said I'm about to do my own thing, which I am, but I can say I've done my part.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I've done my part. My shift it's run its course. Because when it comes to do these things without being supported the way you need to, even sometimes by those that you basically support, that was a sacrifice and that was the understanding as a business owner, a small business owner that came with it.
Yeah.
You have to get to the end goal. And that's what we've done. So as I said before, man, again, thank you for your time to give me to speak my truths in this space, in this industry. It should not be hard for anybody to say anything, to not be identified with. That's the biggest issue I have. People have my representation. When we gonna have, instead of having these people come on these podcasts or these shows on ESPN where it's a softball scenario, why don't they actually have them somewhere where a producer's not in their ear? Like, put me in a room with anybody you want to put me in a room with. Let me ask some questions. Watch how quiet it is. At the end of the day, because you ask a question about something that's legit, and because they're speaking about something that they want to make it seem like they the influence on, that they know about, why are you fighting? Why are you fighting? Why are you arguing with 17-year-olds? Why we got to talk about when now with things that happened in the NCAA, when Hotwood Dartmouth is the first school ever, quote unquote, in New Hampshire, majority Caucasian athletes understand their value and their rights, but the SEC don't get it. With all these players that play football and basketball, HBCUs don't get it. But Dartmouth, Ivy League gets it. Exactly. It's funny, but it's sad as hell.
Yeah.
Because what they just done is basically capitalized off the players' work, players' rep work. That's what they did. That's my work. They ain't doing that without me. No lawyers, none of these advocates had nothing to do with We Are United. No, you can't go pay Trevor Lawrence to do a little slogan and say, hey, we need to come back and play. No, we're not interested in giving Dabo Sweeney another $55 million to build nap rooms and bowling alleys and arcade rooms for their facilities so the people can get tax deduction write-offs. Mm-hmm. Pay the players as employees, small business owners, or no pay, no play. And the last thing I'll say on that space is that if you don't believe what I'm saying, NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, if you want to understand how your economy can go upside down overnight, you don't got to be at a Power Five school. Because when these teams and these trucks show up to cover a game, these referees, these announcers, these fans buy tickets, mm-hmm. man, what a nightmare. These gambling casinos, these apps, what a shame it would be if one of a sudden one of these non-employees said, I don't feel good today. I think I'm going to sleep in. As they can. And there's nothing you're going to do or say about it but lose millions and millions, as The Rock would say, because the bottom line is they're students. They're not employees.
Mm-hmm.
Want their best efforts? Then you'll pay them as employees, or you're going to find out the hard way. So I might come back one more time just to seal that deal. And like I said, you pre-post may or may not be in the room, but the player's rep will always be in the cloud.
In the clouds. Well, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for taking time out today to share sure. your views, information, your story. Definitely appreciate you always being an advisor to me and an advocate for me and helping me through these navigate through these different spaces, man. Yeah, bro, you do a lot, and you probably the only person I know that does a lot without trying to get the likes, the follows. Like that's admirable, because everybody, as soon as they do something, look what I did. But you wait until you really stamp it and be like, nah. Only time I've ever seen you say I did that is when somebody tried to take credit, like they did.
Right. Because now they are disrespecting our work.
Yeah, yep.
And this country is notorious, whether it's through music or whether it's other things. When someone takes your IP, which is this intellectual property, and try to reframe it as theirs, oh no, they're not playing those games. And again, as an African American, in particular, for me, as I said before, I'm not even being supported by my own community. As I said before, this is economic freedom that I have given to all athletes, white and black, but particularly the majority of minorities that play the sport. I've given it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Not the president of the United States, not your university, not your local politician. And I give it to you based on understanding what the rules of engagement are in this country, period. the things that were happening with the NCAA regarding them using your name, image, and likeness or using intellectual property in the games was not something that literally they could do just because you signed it over to them because you don't read. You signed it over to them because you don't understand. You signed it over to them because you ain't made any decision in your own life. You've been sports trafficked since you came out the womb. You were the fastest kid on there. And what people figured out after the deal, going back to Danny Almonte as baseball, hiding your birth certificate.
Yep.
And that trickled all the way up to the University of Alabama and other universities in certain conferences. Mm-hmm. As I said before, when teams won national championships or got the championship games, how long was Michael Penix in school last year?
Like Bo Nix.
Exactly. And now, you so great in college, the NFL says, we're going to draft you later. That goes to show you when you are in a position or you want to become a professional, stop letting amateurs like Nick Saban and the rest of these people in our collectives deter or detract or direct your future, where they have no clue what this is about. Ownership and development is all that you need. Ownership and development, because that's an individual-based thing. When coaches like Rick Pitino say to you, oh, gentlemen, when you've worked with the names on the front of your shirt, the back will take care of it. That is an absolute bold-faced lie. You made a living off of pushing your name Pitino. Period.
The name on the back is why a lot of these people here to watch the name on the front.
That's the only reason why. And that's why they call it recruiting. But once again, Ballhawk, maybe you could put this out to your audience one day. Ask them, all chime in. What's recruiting? Ask them what recruiting is and ask them in their school. You tell us what they do to recruit athletes and tell them how, ask them how it works. Do they know? Man, you're going to see the most uneducated answer you've ever seen in your life. They have no clue. But yet, the people that you run behind and they fall behind, they don't know what they do to get those guys there.
Mm-mm.
Why don't you ask
them? I ain't school, I tell you that much.
Yeah. Ask Nick Saban again. So next time you want to go on a platform, talk about somebody NIL and what they do and where they leave, go place. Why don't you ask him how he got Amari Cooper and Julio Jones to leave Florida to come to Alabama? Then why don't you ask Chris Carter what happened to his kids, how he went from Ohio State and Alabama into JUCO? Ask them two right there how that happened. Ask them how the recruiting process went. Then you get back to me. So like I said before, Nick Saban and anybody else, for those that want to keep talking about things that they had no business talking about while they retired, understand I'm not the Desperate Housewife podcaster, athlete like some of these people. No, I'm not. I don't care what Shannon Sharp grandmother told him. I'm not calling him Unc. I come from New York, where if you go around the country, when decisions are made, they make them. You're taking direction on them. So I'm not asking you anything. But the bottom line is, if that's what you're going to let be the person that basically tells you how to operate and move forward at the next level, we had a disadvantage, a big one. But I know how Julio Jones and how Amari Cooper ended up at Alabama. So like I said, ask one of these so-called analysts, how did that happen? Ask them about their recruiting process. Ask them why they made their decision. And then ones that lie and said, go to love the campus and we had a great tradition of winning, man, listen. Sports trafficking is real. Recruiting parents who don't know, let me just save y'all, is sex, drugs, and alcohol. But a lot of times underage kids that end up growing to be underage men in age alone, that sometimes ended up on rape situations, that end up in situations where they don't understand how to take no for an answer because they've never been told before, based off the same recruiting tactics by yours, your great leaders.
Mm.
Not here for it. Not at all. Like I said, again, we develop men and women at the highest level. We stand on that business. We're the best at that business. And at the end of the day, there is no substitute for that business. Ownership and development is your key to success in life, in and out of sports. Trust the facts, not the process.